Amen. You may be seated. A beautiful song. Our scripture today is from the book of Revelation. It's from the 7th chapter, verses 9 through 17. In the book of Revelation, we're given a vision of God's eternal kingdom. We're given a vision of heaven. But in this particular context, right before chapter 7, John, who is on the Isle of Patmos, also understands that the faithful ones of God go through tough times. And in the early church at that particular time, they're going through a great persecution. And they knew that to live the faith would mean to suffer for the faith. And when John the Revelator was seeing these kinds of things, so part of this revelation were these words, "Then who can stand? Who can hold on when times really get tough like this?" And John sits back and then he begins to see beyond the veil of this life the celebration of those who endured. And every person was there. Not a person was missing or lost. It is a vision that I guess we just have to see ourselves because, well, it's hard to describe something that's beyond this life, that's beyond the visible world. But we have poetry, we have scripture, we have words, we have the book of Revelation, but it's so hard to understand. But just simply understand this today, that you can make it, and we all can make it. And today we celebrate the fact that there is victory. And so I want to share with you the closing part of chapter 7. John is seeing something. "And after this, I looked, and there was a great multitude from every nation, from all tribes and peoples and languages, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, robed in white with palm branches in their hands. And they cried out in a loud voice, 'Salvation, victory belongs to our God who is seated upon the throne and to the Lamb.' And all the angels were around the throne and around the elders and the four living creatures. They fell on their faces before the throne and worshiped God, singing, 'Amen, blessing, glory, wisdom, thanksgiving, honor, power, and might be to our God forever and ever. Amen.' Then one of the elders addressed me, 'Who are these robed in white? And where have they come from?' And I said to him, 'Sir, you are the one that knows.' Then he said, 'These are they who have come from the great ordeal, from the great persecution. And they have washed their robes and made them clean in the blood of the Lamb. And for this reason, they stand before the throne and worship God day and night within his temple. And the one who is seated upon the throne will give them shelter. There will be no more hunger, no more thirst. The sun shall not strike them, nor any scorching heat. And the Lamb at the center of the throne will be their shepherd. He will guide them to streams of water of life, and God will wipe away every tear from their eye.'" Whew. Amen. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Wow. Wow. Today, All Saints Day, we're given the opportunity to look beyond the veil of death and see the victory celebration of the saints who've gone before us. In the very beginning, God looked at everything he had made, and he said, it's very good. This is the same God who in the end will make all things new again. And he'll say, very, very good. We live, though, in the in-between times here on earth. And we need something to keep us going when times get tough. Just like the early Christians needed something to help them hold on to the faith when they were being persecuted. And I call this the distant triumphant song. It's what keeps us going. Have you ever had a time in your life where there's just been a song that's been your song that whenever you hear it, why, you can just put your feet up back on the ground again and put your head up and go and enter into the day with a little more vigor in your step and hope in your heart and willing hands to serve? Sometimes we need a song, and this is our song for all of life, the distant triumphant song. It's almost like putting your ear to the ground and somehow or another, from where we are here now in this life, we can hear what's being sung in the life to come. The song that's sung even now around the throne, it's so beautiful. It's so wonderful that it is the song that helps us to rejoice in hope, be patient in suffering, and persevere through prayer. I don't know about you, but I need that song. And I see others who need that song. But when we have that song, it makes all the difference in the world. And this song tells us some important things. It tells us four important things about heaven and about the kingdom of God. Four important things that we need to know. The distant triumphant song tells us. The first thing that it tells us is that God's kingdom is all inclusive. Yeah. Yeah. From every nation, from all tribes and peoples and languages, there will be no more barriers. All will be included. Now on Sunday morning, you would hope that perhaps people would look at us and say, wow, what an inclusive group. What happened there? And we could simply say something like this. A man died and was raised on the third day, and this is a new creation, because you don't see anything like this apart from there being a miracle. But we're not quite there yet. I'll say a little bit more about that later on. But we will be able to say this about heaven, that it will be inclusive. It will be made up of all kinds of diversity. Nothing will separate people from one another, culture, nation. Second thing that this distant triumphant song tells us is that it will be worship-filled. They fell upon their faces before the throne singing. You know, one of my favorite professors in divinity school, Father Murphy, said that to praise God is to truly be alive. And so in heaven, it is worship-centered. Day and night, worship that is alive. And we are never more fully alive than when we worship God. And so this is a place of abiding worship. The third thing that this distant triumphant song tells us is that it is a shalom-filled kingdom, that all needs are met. There will be no more hunger or no more thirst. The sun shall not strike them, nor any scorching heat. Shalom simply means well-being. Things will be rightly ordered. things will be such that you can say, it is well with my soul, but it is well in the totality of my being. Right relationships, needs met. It's Edom, the Garden of Eden restored. It's Shalom Field. And then the last thing that this distant triumphant song tells us is that the Lamb at the center of the throne, well, we'll be under His care, for He is our shepherd. Wait a minute, I just said Lamb. Lamb, shepherd, Lamb, shepherd, Lamb, shepherd. Well, see, that's the paradox of our faith. Jesus, the good shepherd, became the sacrificial Lamb. Died on the cross for us, was risen again, and through Him we have access to God, forgiveness of sins, cleansing, and purity. He's the sacrificial Lamb, but He's also the shepherd. And so the Lamb at the center of the throne will shepherd us. He will guide us to streams of water of life. In other words, what I'm saying is this. We'll be under the care of the shepherd. Now, those are four things that the distant triumphant song teaches us. That heaven, God's eternal kingdom, will be inclusive, no barriers. It'll be worship field. It'll be Shalom Field. And we'll be under the care of the Lamb or the shepherd. Now, what's our response to all of this? I'll give you a simple response that I've been thinking of. First of all, we need to be in touch with this song, because this reminds us of the victory that is ours to claim. Now, we have to live out the faith in this life, and this is where the struggles are. But we know in the end that there is victory, and so we need to listen to the triumphant song, distant triumphant song, to remind us that ours is the victory, though oftentimes it doesn't look like anything's victorious here that we're a part of. We just need to maintain the faith and keep going and keep serving and serving and living. But here's our response, and here's the challenge of the church today. If we know that heaven is an all-inclusive place, then our churches need to reflect that. And we need to work to become a more inclusive community, welcoming all persons. That's a challenge, isn't it? But also, hey, that is a witness to the world that indeed God is doing something. So we need to think in terms of, you know what? If we're going to be worshiping in heaven with all persons, well, we need to get along down here and learn how to worship with persons, all persons as well. Third thing, of course, is our response is such that we know that we must give ourselves to help meet human need here on earth. That there are so many people that lack the basic necessities of life, and therefore we must be a part of what God's doing in the world to meet those needs here. Because there can be shalom here on earth. You know, during times of tremendous unrest and trouble, either here in America, especially here in America when things go wrong, but anywhere around the world, the United Methodist Church has gone and they've set up what's called shalom zones, safe places for people to go. And when they're this shalom zone, there's people to listen to their hurts, there's people to, they can't solve all their problems, but they're there, and somehow or another these shalom zones form a kind of a safe place for people to be, such like the Bosnian mission, which is still we're involved in over there. There's a place for little children to play from the Muslim faith, from the Christian faith. There's a little place where children can play, get along with one another. It's a shalom zone. There's the, you know, there's that taste of life that a child should be able to have, not robbed by war or fighting or persecution, and shalom zones. And so our response is, well, you know what? We need to be a part of that shalom making here on earth. And then, of course, the last thing is, of course, we need to really know who this shepherd is. I want to share a little personal testimony with you. The more I strive to really understand Jesus as my shepherd, 23rd Psalm, the Lord is my shepherd. The more I really strive to try to understand that, the more I can trust Him with everything, even death. I can trust Him with everything, even in the midst of uncertainties, even in the midst of trials. And so what we need to be doing is we need to be walking closely to the shepherd so we can trust Him always. Now, on this All Saints Day, here is one of my greatest joys, is that when we come to the table, we're reminded of a great truth, that there are more people present with us today than those that we merely see, because we profess in the communion of saints that wherever the church is gathered and breaks bread, the whole church is present. Saint Augustine was with his mother, Monica, and she was the one who prayed for him every day that he may know the love of Christ in a way that's personal, convincing, life-transforming. And he was doing his own thing, but he came to know the Lord and he became a leader in the church. His mother was a praying lady, and when it came time for him to be by her bedside at the time of death, she said, "Son, don't be sad. I've taught you to trust God in life and death and life beyond death." And she said, "Now, I want you to always remember something, that whenever the bread is broken, I'm still going to be with you." St. Augustine took tremendous comfort in knowing we can claim that promise. This past year, I think perhaps our church had something around 20 persons, 20 members who died. And so there are many family members, maybe you're one of them, who are thinking of loved ones who have gone before you at this particular time of the year. And of course, those loved ones of ours who have died several years ago, we think of those persons even now. And so here's what we do on All Saints Day. We remind ourselves that their struggles are over. They only have the joy of God's presence. And we can celebrate what is theirs. And we can share with them the communion of realizing, though we do not see them, they are closely connected to us and they are indeed with us. Who would you like to lift up as a saint in your life for which you're grateful, that when you come to the table for communion today, you can take great delight in knowing that that saint of God is now enjoying the great rewards of the saints of God? Who are these persons that you would like to name? Just from where you're seated, a name or someone? A name. Nora, a lady who worked in the house of my grandmother. My mother, my father. Who would you like to name as a part of that great cloud of witnesses today in whose presence we are?
Nancy.
Leon.
Marion.
Helen.
Ruth.
Laura.
Susan.
Mark. Laura,
Scotty,
all right, Jeff, Jack. Okay, now on the count of three, some of you have been holding back because you're a little bit afraid of your voice when it works or doesn't work. And so on the count of three, I want to give you a moment to think of somebody. On the count of three, I want everybody to say a name out loud, and nobody's going to know that you said something or how you sounded, okay? But it'll do you good, I promise you. There's somebody right now that perhaps you're thinking of, very close to, that that's gone before you. If you were to name a saint, you'd name this person. I want you to think of that person. Tick tock, tick tock, tick tock, dun, 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 dun. Okay, time's up. On the count of three. One, two, three. Tom. They're here. We get to have a foretaste of heaven right now. Invitation to communion, please. The invitation. Christ our Lord invites to his table all who love him, who earnestly repent of their sin and seek to live in peace with one another. Now let's go to the prayer of confession and pardon. Let us pray together. Most merciful God, we confess that we have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart, and we have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We are truly sorry, and we humbly repent. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us and forgive us, that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways. To the glory of your name. Amen. Whatever is wrong, God forgives. Whatever is wounded, God heals. Whatever is weak, God makes strong. You are forgiven and loved, my brothers and sisters. Now, as you have received grace and peace from God, live out of the overflow of God's grace and prepare to come to the Lord's table with a thankful heart. Amen. Now for the prayer of consecration, let us pray. Gracious God, pour out your Spirit on us gathered here and on these gifts of bread and juice, and make them be for us the body and blood of Christ, that we may be for the world the body of Christ, redeemed by his blood. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world until Christ comes in final victory and we feast at his heavenly banquet. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit in your holy church, all honor and glory is yours, Father Almighty, now and forever. Amen. And now with the confidence of the children of God, let us pray the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Just a couple of few instructions before I call those up who will be helping to serve and for the servants who will need to be served first. All are welcome. John Wesley said this is the Lord's table, not our table. The only requirements are to do just what we did, to confess our sins and be willing to walk in newness of life. In many ways, this sacrament can be a sacrament of conversion. A person can come to belief in Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior because they came to the table in such a way. But all are welcome. We use the method of intinction. The bread will be placed in the palm of your hand. You don't take from the body of Christ, you receive. And you take the bread and dip it into the cup, and it changes color. That's called tincture, and that's why we call it intinction. And then you consume the elements. Now, we do have gluten-free wafers, and we have a separate chalice for the juice, so nothing's going to touch. It shouldn't touch. And just let us know. If you desire the gluten-free bread and the separate cup, come to Polly's and our station. Polly and I will be serving over here, so come to our station if that's what you would need. In just a moment, I'll ask if there's anybody who cannot, for any reason, physically come forward. We'll bring it to you. Now, before you return, on the sides in which you're seated, you'll see there's a little offering basket on each side. We almost have all that we need to sponsor 115 youth for Youth Day. So if you'd like to contribute towards that, I'm sure that it won't be any problem at all. We'll be able to go ahead and get all those tickets ordered and have have this Duke Day to be a tremendous success today, which is paying tribute to one of the living saints of our church, Bill Jones. So if you would be so willing to make a love offering before you go back. At this time, I'd like to call those who will be helping to serve communion, for those technicians behind the scenes, for the members of the CFX band, all to come and to join me at this time.